Parshas Masai. And in Masai, of course, we have all the travels, all the sojourns of Klal Yisrael during the 40 years in the Midbar. The total number of stops is 42. And the question is, why is the Torah so concerned about mentioning these stops? The Ramban, in his Perish al Torah, presents the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, and you'll see this on your first page, which is equivalent to page Kuf Samach Tes. Let's just read through the Rambam. I'm going to try to translate it into English. The Rambam wrote it in Arabic. And here's what the Rambam has to say about the reason why the Torah had to record all the journeys in their particular, in details. I mean, it seems so uninteresting and so unexciting. Okay, so the Rambam says the following: Hosif harav v'mor nevuchim to'eles v'yediyosam. The Rambam adds, what is the purpose and the benefits that we get from telling us about all these journeys? Says the Rambam, Hatzorech Lizkar Maisim Hamasoim Hagadol Ma'od. He says the details for these journeys is very important. And why? Ki anisim va'osos hanasos heim amitios l'chol ro'eim. When we have miracles, which are nisim, osos are called wonders, and these were performed in the desert, in the wilderness, over the course of four decades. Although these were known to be true by those who lived at that time, l'chol ro'eim, those who observed these miracles, they saw the man, they saw the Anani HaKavod, they witnessed the Be'era Shel Miriam, they were sustained miraculously for 40 years. Ach bi'asid, but what's going to be down the line? You, Dvarim v'shmua, you're already talking about people who didn't experience firsthand these miracles. And they are only getting it by hearsay. It's being passed down to them. V'achzivei ma'shomea. In other words, someone hearing them could call them kazav. Kazav means deny them. I remember that even with regard to Kriyas Yamsuf, when I was a kid, there was a whole theory about the constellations and why the waters split exactly at that moment. And it was absolutely important that the signs and the powerful wonders, Amidas Yisrael b'Midbar Baram Shana, the fact that the Jewish people sustained themselves for 40 years, and they had the man. V'heim Mekolos Rechokos Melmini Yishuv, these places, the 42 stops in the Midbar, were very far away from populated areas. They were not a natural habitat for human beings. Lo makom zera utena v'gefen v'rima, and the Rambam paraphrases a pasuk here in Bamidbar in Perek Chaf. And these were not places of seeds, of figs, of pomegranates. V'omer Torah lechem lo achaltem v'yayin v'shechel lo shasisem. In other words, they weren't sustaining themselves with physical foods, but rather with man. V'chol eila osos b'mase nes niros l'ayin. Although these were miracles that were obvious and observed by the eye of those who were there to observe them, but not so for the generations to come. And he said, since the Bore knew that there would be historical records, and he says, Mashi Yavol Divrei Yomim, what would be passed on as miracles, as wonders? Lo Yamina Be'em HaShomim, those who would hear about it in future generations would not believe it, they would deny it. The Yachshuvu Ki Amidosa Be'Midbar Zayakor, they would begin to explain, oh, the Israelites were traveling through the Midbar at points in the periphery that were very close, very proximate to the populated areas. Makom Asher Bnei Adam Sham. And the Rambam gives examples. Kegol Hamidbaros Asher Yishkinu Sham Bnei Arav Hayom. He says there are deserts like the Sahara Desert where Arabs live even today. O Makomos Asher Yisham Charish VeKatzir. It must be that they landed in places where they could plow, where they could harvest. O Sheyisham Asavim Utsmachim LaMachal Bnei Adam. There were herbs. There were plants, there were food for people to eat. And then the Rambam goes on to say there were wells. Al-Kain Hirchik Mi-Libos B'nei Adam Ha-Machshavos Eilu. The purpose of delineating these masos is to La-Hirchik, means to push aside those notions, those ideas. The Chizek Eile Ha-Osos Kulam B'Zichron Ha-Masos. By mentioning specifically the exact places where they journeyed, this was going to strengthen the belief in miracles. The Yedu Ha'osos Hagdolos Eich Amdu Bnei Adam B'Makomos Haheim Arboim Sa. It would be obvious. It would be recognized what great miracles took place. Human beings survived in places that are absolutely uninhabitable, and for 40 years, says the Rambam. Says the Rabban Kol Elu Dvarav. This is a summary of the Rambam's opinion. Basically, these are areas in the Midbar which would not sustain, not you and I, and certainly not 3 million people strong, not for a day or a week or a year, and certainly not for 40 years. The miracle and the wonders now become obvious, become recognized. We can pass down this history, and people should understand, should be made to believe in these miracles. What we get from this Rambam, as presented by the Ramban, is that the Torah gives us an entire parsha, a whole section, in order that we should feel, we should be able to have a grasp, a tangible grasp, for all generations, on the nisim and niflos, on the special supervision, the divine providence over Klal Yisrael from the Creator Himself for 40 years. And you might ask, and this is on the bottom of your first page, we already see this elsewhere. We already were commanded to remember these Osos and Mofsim in the 8th chapter of Sefer Dvarim. V'zachartas kol haderech eshal holicha Hashem elokecha zeh arboim shonu b'midbar. God had taken you through these travels for 40 years. We had to face the harsh conditions of the wilderness and be tested. Ladas, and we had to develop in our lave a loyalty to Hashem. Hatishmar mitzvosav, would we accept the mitzvos and live up to those standards? Vayancha vayarivecha vayachelcha samana shalayadata, etc., etc. All this was in order that we understand and pass on the tradition of the miracles of the man, etc., that sustained us in a supernatural way for 40 years in the Midbar. Says the Ramban over there in Dvarim Ches. The wonderful thing about the Ramban al Torah is that we weave in different sections, different comments of the Ramban. Yomar, this means to tell us, Ki tuchal lodas sheyesh pasiyas hamitzvos tova shlema. So until now, in the Rambam's frame of reference from the Moravuchu, we were focused on miracles, wonders, which obviously lead us to recognize the one God, the Creator. Now we're moving on, and in the Ramban's frame of reference in Dvarim Perek Ches, the purpose of understanding and remembering all the experiences of the Midbar, of our forefathers in the desert, is to engender within us an appreciation for mitzvos. That through mitzvos, by fulfilling God's command, we achieve tova shlema, a perfect good. And tzaddik lo yenezav, a person who's righteous, will not be left alone. Bevakesh lochem, seeking a loaf of bread to eat. Ki Hashem because Almighty God mefarnes oscha b'midbar b'maisenes gadol, God sustains us with an unbelievable, amazing miracle, bavur lechtecha achar mitzvosav, so that we follow in his mitzvos. These are the protections by virtue of the merit of the mitzvos. God protects us against harm. And the Ramban refers to what he's already written in Parashas B'Shalach with regard to the man, that l'mana noscha l'nasosecha means this was a great trial and tribulation to challenge us. Shelo yedu eitzel nafsham, they wouldn't know how to survive in the desert. They're going into a place where there's no food to eat. Ein biyadam klum, they have nothing except man. But on a daily basis, when the covers were empty and they didn't know where the next meal would come from, they would open the doors of their ohel, and what was laying there on the front on a daily basis, it was the man. And of course, if they would violate the prohibition to take too much man, it would spoil. And if there was extra man, it would be melted by the sun. And at certain times, that level of relying on Hashem was tested to its extreme. And all this is to lead us to the point in which where we are dedicated, Asu Lishmar Mitzvos Hashem Leleches Kasher Yitzaveh V'Hashem Ayyachal Olicham V'Derecha Arim Esher Sivoseim Avalei V'yom B'Nisoyin Hazeh K'Mimenu Yivada SheYishmu Mitzvosav Li'Olam. The training period of 40 years was meant to inculcate into our very system, we call it the spiritual DNA, the belief in the dedication to the Mitzvos Hashem. That's what's going to protect us. So let's just summarize in the next paragraph the three explanations for our requirement to know the Masos, to know about these miracles. Number one, to recognize the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his divine supervision over the Jewish people with explicit miracles, outright miracles that every observer could see. Number two, the idea, that knowledge that has to be inculcated into the very fiber of our being, of our souls, that with the Kiyum HaMitzvos, by living loyally up to the standards of the mitzvos of Hashem, by going in the right path, with Zocheh, we will receive great rewards and merits from Hashem. And thirdly, to develop within the Jew the great level of Emunah B'Tochen, a belief and faith in God, to rely on Hashem. As Rabbeinu Bechai says over there in Dvarim, Kol Inui Amidbar V'Atorach HaGodol Shol Yisrael Bo, these 40 years of challenges to Israel, Lohaya, were only for one goal, Laviyam Lidei Nisayon, that through the constant daily tests that the Jews faced in the Midbar, Lahargil Tivon B'Midas HaBitochon, to take a sort of training period. You know, if you do exercises and you go to the gym, ultimately, and this is true for any athlete, you know, you learn how to have like almost a knee-jerk response to do the right thing at the right time. And that's, of course, what we're hoping for in the case of Achayalim, Hashem, Yishomram. Lahargil tivon b'midas habitachon. They should be well-trained, well-oiled in the attribute of relying on Hashem. Ulahachnis b'libam emunas Hashem yisparach, to penetrate and inculcate into their souls the belief in Hashem, Achiyachzar lahem regilus avoda l'teva, until finally the avoda, the daily service to Hashem, becomes natural. It doesn't have to be something that's alien, that's forced upon us. It becomes part of our second nature. And that's what the goal was of all these great miracles and the tribulations of 40 years in the Midbar. And at this point, to put the Ramban into a broader perspective, we look at the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, the world famous Ramban. I spoke about it in the past in Toronto. This Ramban is quoted over and over and over again. It's very fundamental, as all of what the Ramban teaches us is. Says the Ramban, all the osos and mofsim all the great miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the entire period of redemption, step by step. This is not something that God's going to change the laws of nature in every generation for the benefit or in the presence of Rishayim, of evildoers. And therefore it's so rare within the context of history that there's got to be a mitzvah to remember. And therefore, Yitzavo, Son of God, commands us, Shanasa Tomit Zikaron, Vios. There should be memory devices, whether it's the tefillin, whether it's the mezuzah, whether it's the Leil HaSeder, to remember all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ashero Einenu, because we saw it, and we have to pass this on as a tradition to our children, and to their children, and to all the future generations. And here's the punchline of the Ramban, which he bolds. We're on the third paragraph on Kuf Ayin. Umin anisim agdolim b'mfursamim. Through the intermediary, or the conduit, of witnessing the outstanding miracles that are profound and obvious changes of nature. Adam mode b'nisim hanistarim. Says the Ramban is another concept. Not only are there blatant, outright miracles which violate and undermine the laws of nature, there are subtle miracles that happen in our lives every moment. He calls them nisim nistarim, the hidden miracles. As I said before, one of the most famous principles, breakthroughs of the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah. The haim and the belief in these secret miracles that are below the surface, that are hidden and covered over by nature, haim yisod ha-toraku, the entire Torah, is predicated on one principle, and that is Nisim Nistarim. She'ein li adam chelik b'toras Moshe. A man is not shaykh to the Torah of Moshe. Ad she'yamin b'chol. He has to believe that kol dvarenu mikrenu, every dvarim that happens to us, any dvar, any mikra, which we think is accidental, coincidental. Kulam Nisim. And basically, if everything's a miracle, if everything's organized by the Ribbono Shel Olam for each and every one of us on a daily, constant basis, there is no such thing as Teva. Basically, the Ramban has made an equation between Teva and Nes, between nature and miracle. Two concepts which we think are antithetical or mutually exclusive, the Ramban identifies them as one and the same. We call it Teva. But that's a misnomer. It's not nature. What happens to us is not Minhago Shel Olam. It's not something natural. It's kulones. Although we don't see, it's not obvious and apparent to the eye that the law of nature was violated, is vitiated, but that's what it is. It's all ness, it's all hashgacha from Shamayim. And lest one argue, maybe that's true for the tzibur, for the community of Israel, but for me as an individual, says the Ramban, bein v'rabin, bein v'yachin. This principle of nisim nistarim, that there's no teva, applies both to the klal and to the prat. In yase, but it's all conditional. If he wants to succeed, yase mitzvos v'yatzlichenu, he'll get the schar and the protection from Hashem if he's loyal to the mitzvos and upholds them. But on the other hand, if heaven forbid yavralim, he violates those mitzvos, yachrisenu be cut off, and his onesh, his punishment, will be very severe. Hakol, but everything that experience that man experiences is b'gzeras elyon. It comes as a divine decree from on high. So let's just summarize then. It's an obligation incumbent upon every single man to be contemplative on a regular basis, every moment. Look around, what's happening? Because what's ever happening, whether it's a davar katan or a davar gadol, is bichlal dvareinu mikreinu, and it's all mess. It's got to be an experience that contains within it a message to us, because it's a miracle. Every miracle has a message to it. If everything that happens to us in life, everything that befalls us is a miracle, then we have to look and contemplate into everything that happens to us and find the message therein. And here, the Sam Derech quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the father of the Musa movement. And this next piece is perhaps the most powerful and profound Musa shmuz you could ever give to anybody. And it comes straight from the mouth of Rabbi Yisrael Salant. The Gemara tells us in Erechim, Rava says, Ad heichan tachlis yisurin. What's the ultimate in suffering? The Gemara is dealing with Yisurin, which are memarek es achet. The suffering comes to purify us. It's a kind of kapara process. Give me an example of Ad heichan tachlis yisurin. What is an extreme case? And we're expecting, we're anticipating, who knows, a wall is going to fall on my head. He says, no. Omar Rava, Rava says, Poshad Yadu Lekis Litol Shalosh. He has to pay with 3 coins and he puts his hand in his pocket, the other Shtayim, and he comes up with 2. Never. He's going to have to put his hand back in, says Rashi, Icha Tirka, there's a Tirka here, Lemehedar, Ulemishkal Shlishis. He's got to go back into his pocket to take out the 3rd coin. What's going on, says Rabbi Yisrael? This is called Tachlis Yisurin. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Adam Roy Yisurin Bonalov, Yefash Beish Memasa. Any Yisurin, no matter how minimal they are, obligate us to look into our actions, to scrutinize and come up with a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Yefash Beish Memasa. They're not there for no reason, for naught. Says Rabbi Yisrael, Kanereh, what we have to assume when anything happens to us, even as seemingly insignificant as having to put my hand in my pocket a second time around, Haisal of Tfiyah. There was something that wasn't to say there. We weren't doing exactly what we were supposed to do. And there's a claim against us, Shebavura, and in the wake of this claim, Nigrumo lo Yisurim amachayven esodon lefash mas. Everything is a message from Hashem. Everything is meant to awaken us to look into our actions. How can we improve them? Alzeh Amru, and therefore Rava wants to formulate, don't think it only refers to the most profound and serious heavyweight Yisurin in which we suffer greatly, and those that give us such Agmas Nefesh, they generate this obligation to look and scrutinize into our actions. No. Even Lua Kala Biyosa, Kala with a Kuf, even if it's a lightweight kind of thing, nevertheless, Tzarech la'orer es ha'odam has to awaken man lachor to investigate achar ma'isav v'livdok madua bo olav ha'isurim. Why did this happen to him? And basically we have here of mefash beish v'masav, which means this is not just halacha in tshuva, you know, when we're ready and we decide that we did an avera. And the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, he woke up one day, he realized that he had sinned, so he's got to be mefash beish v'masav. No. This is not a one-time shot. This is not occasional. This is constant and continuous. On a regular basis, his bodenus b'chol pirtei anhaga v'ashkocha pratis. That's machayev, that we believe that everything that happened to us, as the Ramban said, kol dvarenu v'diburenu nisim hem. And frankly speaking, I don't know how to answer the following question. You know, so many things happen to us on a daily basis. If anyone has a clue, how do we go about figuring out what is it all about? What is the message? Again, in a general sense, we can certainly be mefash beish memasav, and we can try to improve ourselves at every step of the way. But if we're looking for the handwriting on the wall, this is your pitfall, this is your deficiency. It's a little bit difficult to come up with that. Maybe if you stub your toe and you go, ouch, you can figure out that you've been running to the wrong places. Okay. But you'd have to be very creative if every single experience is meant to engender within you an answer to the question, well, where did I go wrong? So for that, we might have to refer to the books of Rav Harush or other books of Chassidus and see if we could unlock the secrets of how to interpret all Dvarenu Umikrenu. But in a general sense, certainly we have to understand that it's all part of Hashgacha Pratit on a regular basis. And here, we come to the case of Bilam with a fascinating new approach, a whole new perspective. Bilam refused to withhold his plans, to hold back, and go. And he insisted on going with Sarei Moav, with Balak, to curse the Jewish people. And you would think that the punishment that's brought upon Bilam, he eventually dies, which we saw right here in Parashas Matos just a few days ago, all that is because he decided to go with Sarei, with Ziknei Moav, to curse the Jewish people. No, that's not what happened, at least not according to the Sfarnim. If you take a look at the Psukim, you remember the incident with the Ason, and the Malach Hashem, after, you know, Bilam smacks his Ason, appears to Bilam and he says, Almahi kisa sason chazesh shol shrigolim, ulai na tasasa mipnei ki atah gam oschar akiv osach yisani. The accusation against Bilam is for hitting his Ason three times. And basically what the Malach Hashem is saying to Bilam is, didn't you get the message, my friend? Didn't you interpret these occurrences? Your loyal donkey is now pushing you against the wall. He doesn't want to take you to the, with the Ziknei Moab, Ziknei Midyan, to curse the Jewish people. Didn't you, here in Israel we say, Asimon Afel, you know, didn't you get the message? Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem chatos. This is the sin of Bilam. This is the only time we identify the word chet with a particular occurrence in Bilam's life in the scriptures. Ki lo yadati. Please underline those three words. Ki lo yadati. I didn't realize that you, the Malach Hashem, were there. Says the Sfarnim, ki lo yadati. V'hayali lachush, as I should have figured it out. You were blind. Cognitive dissonance, the psychologist called it. You refused to interpret the handwriting on the wall. That's your chet. His bonus, the responsibility to look into what happens to you, what's going on around you. Chovas ha'adam, afilu al pu'ulos pshuto shalavosa, mechuyiv lisbonen, mishum, because the Ramban at the end of Bo again, ein lo adam chel gitaris moshat shenam, b'chol dvarei v'kreni shekulam nisim, v'yein v'yem tevo min hogo, shalom v'yem rabim v'yem yachid. The Rambam says, kol dvarei v'kreni, every single individual small detail, you might call it small, but it's part of the divine revelation, it's part of the divine hashgacha, and you've got to believe with a full faith that this hanhaga is supernatural, it's a mess, don't identify it as teva, that's a very bad mistake. And therefore the chet is when we fail to see what's going on around us. If you take a look for a moment on the bottom of Kufay and Aleph in footnote number 2, he says that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which according to the Ramban, requires that we orally recite on a daily basis that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The purpose of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis is lahachdir emuna zu, to make sure that the belief is has penetrated into our hearts, into our souls, it's always close to us, lamchish, that we should be able to sense the godel hashkacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatness and the detailed hashkacha that Hashem has in us. And therefore Hashem decided that the yisod ha-yisodus of hashkacha is Yetzias Mitzrayim, as the Ramban formulates it at the end of Parashas Bo. This is something that we have to remember and declare on a daily basis. And if you turn the page to Kufay and Beis, he quotes the Siach Yitzchak, which is one of the major commentaries on the Siddur Agra, and he says that we have a new insight into what we say daily in the Modim. Al niflosecha v'tovosecha shebechol eis. What does it mean? That they're niflos and they're tovos bechol eis? If we take this literally, it means that every moment, says the Siach Yitzchak, yes, if you have the Ramban and you're wearing his perspective, then you understand what we're saying bechol eis literally. Because the Ramban says that everything that happens to us on a constant basis is part of the Anhaga, is part of the way God is leading our lives and guiding us. Ha'olam mitvareinu, this is the Siach Yitzchak's language when he, in the finale, he summarizes, he says, ki gam asher yikru'u hanhaga tivis, even what we call nature and things that transpire in our lives and impact on us are natural. Hi gam ke misit upla'it b'shinei ateva. He also refers to the Malbim, who accepts this and elaborates this. Al-Kaini says, Amar, we can say in Modim, Niflo Secha B'chol Eis, it's on a constant basis. I'll take a break now. If anyone has any questions on what we've said till now, you can ask now. because we're going to go on to the next section. I'll just get myself a drink. Okay. So we're moving on. If you have the Barbacomas page, to page Kuf Ayin Gimel. And on Kuf Ayin Gimel, we're going to see that although there were 42 Masos during the 40 years in the Midbar, the Torah lists them by rote without any embellishment of any of them except for two. In two cases, the Torah tells us about what happened at that particular encampment. One is Refidim. And the Pasuk says, Vayachnu Refidim, V'lo Hoya Shamayim La'am L'shtos. They encamped in Refidim, and they did not have water to drink. And that you'll see here at the beginning of Parshas Masay in Pasuk Yudalet. That we can understand. There's something of great importance that took place in Refidim, and that is Shenisu es Hashem. They tested God, the people of Israel tested God, and the place is called Masa Umeriva, but water was taken out of the stone miraculously, and that was a Kiddush Hashem of tremendous proportions. Lahotzi men mayim min hasela. This is the Ramban's comment. What else happened at Refidim? Bar lehem sham milchemes hamolek. And therefore the Torah tells you, in a, albeit in an abridged form, that this was an important encampment. Something happened on the way. The sheni, and the second one, this is in Pasuk Tes a little bit earlier, is Elima, which is Elim. What happened at Elim? Ube Elim, Shtemesrei Enos Mayim, there was 12 springs of water, Veshivim Tmarim, and 70 day trees, Vayachnu Sham, and they encamped there. What's so special about these 12 springs of water, these 70 day trees, that the Pasuk has to single out Elim as a noteworthy place? Something very important transpired there. The Ramban comments on this not here in Parshas Maaseh, but rather back in Parshas B'Shalach, and he has a great long presentation. But what he says in an abridged form, which you'll see at the end of your paragraph, Yeshal Havin, Avol B'Parshas Eile Maaseh Lo Sifer Dov Mimara. The Ramban hints at the fact that Mara is not going to be explained here in our Parsha Masa, even though Mara was a great event, you know, God gave parts of the Torah at Mara. But rather the next stop after Mara was Elim, and there we're told about the 12 and the 70. V'lo herich kein b'chol ha-makomos ha-masa. Something strange. Ramban himself is hinting at the problem. We haven't yet seen his resolution, but why is it, implies the Ramban, that this is such of stupendous importance that the Torah has to stop and tell us what happened? So he answers the following. He says, on the surface of it, you might say, well, you know what? Ain't no dover guttle. I mean, there are always places that have springs of water that have, and there are date trees nearby. And he says, again, this is an agricultural statement, an observation. He says, b'shefa makomos, in the lower areas, you know, like below sea level, you'll find Elif Tmarim, you'll find 1,000 day trees. The Enos Mayim Rabin, and the Torah doesn't have to tell us about that. So now if you turn to page Kufayin Dalid, Rashi tells us a little bit about the symbolic message here that inheres in the 12 and the 70. Says Rashi, Kosav Shtemesre Enos Mayim Kineged Shnemas Hashvatim Nizdamnu Lehem. They chanced upon 12 springs, which corresponds to the 12 Shvatim. Shivim Tmarim, which corresponds, says Rashi, to Shivim Zkenim. And then Rashi adds, V'lo yadati ma'u azimun azeh, why God went out of his way to designate this at this particular moment in the history of the travels through the desert. Im b'maisa nisim nasu shambos hashah, unless perhaps this was miraculous, these were not springs that were natural, they just appeared out of nowhere like a mirage for Klal Yisrael. But then he quotes the Mechilta, the name of Elazar Modoy. Miyom Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, these 12 and 70 were part of the original plan of creation. They date back to creation itself. They didn't just all of a sudden appear out of nowhere, says Rabbi Elazar. And Sipur HaKosuv Zeh, the Torah wants to tell us, Ki Chanu Aleim Kol Shevet Al Nevo, each Shevet encamped in close proximity to its spring, so they knew which spring corresponded to its Shevet apparently. Uvazakenim, and the 70 elders, Yashvu Bitsilam, they sat themselves down and enjoyed the benefit of the shade of these day trees, L'shvach HaKel Aleihem, so that they would give praise to God, Shehechen Lehem Kain B'Eretz Tzio, that God from the beginning of creation prepared that in this wilderness, this desolate wilderness of stones and sand, they would have these wonderful Minos Mayim and day trees, the 70 Tmarim. It would seem from the Mechilta that God already had in mind the love for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, way back at the time of creation. And therefore this parsha, this experience at Elam, was Inyan Miyuchad, was something very special, something very new. Because why did Hashem need to prepare these Enos Mayim and these Tmarim way back when, during the 6 days of creation? Couldn't he have just made a miracle now, in front of their eyes? And they would see in front of their eyes these nisim, these miracles? El al karkach, the answer must be, Sheba kosav lelamed, Shekol tachlis enos hamayim v'tmarim lohoisekdei l'rabos es tzim'onam shal Yisrael atzil menachama. If this would have been a miraculous event that was created on the spot at that moment, we would have come to the mistaken conclusion that the purpose and the goal of this miracle was to allow the Jewish people to relieve themselves of extreme thirst by drinking of the Enos Mayim, to save them and spare them from the very difficult, harsh heat, intense heat of the desert sun, and they needed the tail of these Tmarim. Oh, it's much more than that. Ella, it's not just the biological nature here that they needed so much water, they needed so much shade to cool off. El lichvodam shel Yisrael, ulichvodam shel Hazkenim. This is God's way of giving honor and glory to the people of Israel and to their elders. Because Hashem knows from the beginning, from the creation, that Omdim Haim, that the people of Israel will agree to accept God and believe in Him, even in the harshest conditions for 40 years going through the desert. Therefore, Hibia Habore, at the time of creation, God foreseeing the future, He's omniscient, He already places into the creation the potential to produce these Minos and these Tvarim, Lichvodam Shel Yisrael, Ulichvod Azkenim, Kidei Shekol Shevet Yachne Al Mavo, V'chol Zokein Yanuach B'tzel Tamar. This is the Anhogas HaKovet Azeh. This is an integral part of creation. B'shvil Yisrael, Shenikres Reishis. B'Reishis, God created the world for Yisrael. Before Reishis. The love of Hashem for the Jewish people, His compassion, is built into the very process of creation back in Sheish Yisimei Amas. And when we study the parashiyos here and elsewhere of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar with all the miracles, and especially here the Masos, the Torah is going to point out through Elim symbolically that all these miracles, all the wonders, the man and the be'er and the Anani HaKavod, and what happened at Elim, all this is part of God's love for the people of Israel, his compassion. Rashi calculates, by the way, at the very beginning of Maaseh, I just want to mention in passing, that 42 Maasos, most of them, the bulk of them, took place either in the first year or the 40th year. And for the 38 years in between, they only had 20 Maasos. There was no tiltal that moved them every day and every other week. They were encamped for long periods of time, sometimes years at a stay in each place. This is all part of the divine chesed and its compassion for the people of Israel. And therefore, on the bottom of your page, Kufay and Dalid, there's a whole deep Torah here that we have to learn from the Torah, from the story of Elam. Ki chanu aleim kol shevet al mevoz kedem yosh mitzilam l'shevach hakel aleim sheheichilem kein v'yaretz tzil. Just like we have an absolute necessity to feed the people, to make sure that they can live with water, etc., in this midbar gadol v'nora, so too it's absolutely necessary that the bikvodom shel Yisrael v'kovod haskenim. And he writes, "Bichlal kol mashehuchan liYisrael b'tchilas habria," amongst all the things that were prepared for Klal Yisrael from the start, from creation, "Huchnu gam shiva tmarim," so too the 70 day trees, "she'ein kol tzarach b'hem," and they didn't need the shivim's tmarim to protect them from the sun, from the hot sun. "She'ein kol tzarach b'hem ki anani akavod yisofchin aleihem neginim michavash." They already had the anani akavod, but the anani akavod were there to miraculously protect them and envelop them, protect them from the sun during this period of time. But there was something that dates back to creation. God wants to show us and demonstrate that this is teleologically part of creation. This is the goal of creation, the kavod and the gedula for Klal Yisrael. "V'chol inyonav yitzirasa mishum kvodav shisrael kvodav haskenim b'ni v'chor Yisrael." This is what we need now, my friends, at this juncture in history here in Israel. We need Hashem to show us the kavod, the ava, the chesed that he has for Klal Yisrael to spare us. And on page Kufay in Hay, we have another presentation of the Ramban on the possible of Sikhu Kofer Lenefesh Rotzeach. This is a very long Ramban. We're going to focus on another comment of one of the other Rishonim, and that is the Bali HaTosfos. What does it mean, Nefesh Rotzeach? And we want to study for just a very few minutes, because we're coming towards the end of our time allotment, a parsha in Tanakh with regard to Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya was the loyal second in command to David HaMelech. In fact, it was because of Yoav ben Tzruya, as you'll see on the second page, Kufayin Vav, that David HaMelech was able to achieve all that he achieved in Mishpat, in Staka, in David HaMelech's dedication to Torah and to Halacha. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Mem Tes, "Il mole Yoav, if not for Yoav, lo osak David b'Torah." In other words, we have to say that the merit of David's Torah study relates to Yoav, and yet it's David HaMelech himself who commands his son Shlomo to put Yoav ben Tzruya to death, which Shlomo does. Why was Yoav ben Tzruya chayv misa? And this has a moral lesson for all of us. Yoav ben Tzruya, say Chazal, and it's really the pasuk, "Gila sodo," he revealed the secret about David. What does this mean? If you remember, David sent Uriah Chiti to the front lines, and Uriah Chiti was killed in battle. But what we don't know is what happened in the aftermath of Uriah's death. Chazal tell us in the Yalkut, you'll see this on Kufay and Vav, that the people of Israel gathered together to destroy Yoav ben Tzruya, because Yoav ben Tzruya was the one who set up Uriah on the front lines, basically sending him to his death. How did Yoav ben Tzruya save himself from the angry mob? He had only one option, and that is to reveal the secret of David. And you'll see this at the end of the paragraph that starts V'inei Yoav. Kidei li'natzel mimisav hadas, to save himself from definite imminent death. Megala Yoav es hasod, Yoav reveals the secret of David HaMelech. And he says, Hu zeh shetzivo l'shloach es Uriah achiti al pnei ha'melchama. That secret which was not known, that it was David who gave the command to send Uriah out to the front lines, that was revealed publicly by Yoav ben Tzruya. In the next paragraph, Ulam David HaMelech ra b'maseihu b'gilui hasod tviya kol kach gedol al Yoav. That Yoav failed in his nemanus, in his loyalty to David, was a tremendous sin, a great tviya against him. So much so that despite all, you know, if you seesaw it back and forth, on the one side of the scale, you put all the Ezra, all the help, Hamufla, the amazing help that Yoav gave, and the dedication of Yoav to David for all those years. Nevertheless, they weren't enough, all of that, to tip the scale. And the balance was that this Gilui Sod was such a violation that Lo Yamdu Zchuso Shel Yoav, all the great things he did, would not spare him from death, from the terrible punishment that he eventually received at the hands of Shlomo HaMelech. Haflev Afela, what an amazing medrash we have to learn from this. Sha'odom Nidrash Legalos Nemanus, man is demanded to be loyal, to not reveal secrets. Friendship and loyalty is so critical. It's such a morally, ethically imperative that the Torah teaches us what it means. And finally, we'll finish up with the Rabban's comments on Losisov Nachlo L'Bnei Yisrael Mimata Al-Maka, that Hashem wanted the Nachla of each Shevet to remain within the Shevet. And therefore, as the Ramban says, Tziva, Shtei Mitzvos Tziva, God commands two different mitzvos, two separate commandments, B'yarshos Nachla, Shalot Yisa'ena Rak L'maka V'em, that any woman who inherits property from her father should not get married to anyone outside of her father's tribe, his Shevet. And number two, V'tziva, as far as married women are concerned, they're already married out of the Shevet. Asher tovo lehem nachla, if they inherit something and they're married to a man from a different Shevet, achre ayosam leishlo tisav nachla mimata lamata achre, the inheritance will not shift from one tribe to another. How is that so? Their children who come from a different Shevet, and their husbands, I mean, each one their husband comes from a different Shevet, will not inherit their estates, but rather their estates will be inherited by relatives through the mother, meaning her kinsmen, her brothers and relatives, in order to guarantee that the Nachla will remain within the Shevet. And this is all in the aftermath of Benos Slavchad. Right? Because with regard to Benos Slavchad, they inherited their father, and now if they get married out of the Shevet, then all their inheritance would move from one tribe into another tribe. And even for women already married to men of a different tribe, there is a prohibition here, says the Ramban. And if someone was unmarried and she would marry out of the tribe, they violate this commandment, and the men of the woman's tribe would inherit them, and not their husbands or their sons. So if a woman chose to violate this prohibition and marry out of her Shevet, then the inheritance laws would change. Her husband or her sons would not inherit her when she dies. We have to guarantee that her possessions remain within the Shevet. Sheyu kulam dvekim ukshurim benachas mata avosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban, wanted that Bnei Yisrael would cleave and attach themselves to the inheritance that they got from their, from the Shevet of their fathers. Vol tipareid nachlosam mehem behem lo yispardu yipardu minachlosam. The Nachla would not part from the tribe. The tribe would not part from its inheritance. And all this is to guarantee a relationship between the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael and each Shevet. And the Sam Derech concludes this, which you'll see on page Kuf Ayin Hey, by telling us that in the Ramban's perspective, that this law, this prohibition of Altasuv Nachla, relates to Pnuyos who were never married, or married women, and to remove the normal Yerusha. This is the Ramban's approach. It doesn't seem to be reflected by Chazal in the Gemara Bava Basra. And the question is how to reconcile the Ramban with the Gemara Bava Basra. And that's going to be the subject of this last paragraph in the presentation, which we'll leave for now because it's getting very late. I just want to take 2 minutes of your time, first of all, to thank you for joining me, and secondly, if you can ask, raise any questions, this would be a great time to do so.